This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin with the praise the thanks of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family, to his companions And all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them Ameen walhamdulillah Alhamdulillah, 2 weeks ago we did that very interesting talk on Why do we solve for X? Why is the X the unknown? And we mentioned that it was in fact Us and our books, the Arabic and Muslim scholars Who used to write and invented the science of algebra that the sheen, the letter sheen, was the unknown. And then Europeans learned this, they translated it, and they changed it to X. And from there, you know, they've basically moved forward and solved more and more of the world's mysteries and discovered more things, while we, subhanAllah, have languished in the back. And we said that there was a time when Islam ruled for 800 years the country of Spain and Portugal. This area, Spain, Portugal, is the Iberian Peninsula. We ruled it for 800 years, and it was the most advanced civilization in the world. Muslims ruling, where kings of Europe would come and send their children to learn under our universities, in Arabic, subhanAllah, in Arabic, and write books and learn, while we now go to Europe and look for them for answers. There was a time when they came to us. And so this series, inshallah, to talk about a forgotten chapter, and really should not be forgotten, the chapter of Andalusia. We will start the series today, inshallah, and it will take us a couple of weeks to conclude this amazing chapter in our history of what the Muslims accomplished and achieved in Spain and why it's important. Muslims and Islam went to many lands. Some became strong, some disappeared. But this land in particular, because it is for the first time that Islam flourished in the heart of Europe, and it was a Muslim emirate, a Muslim country, in the midst of, surrounded by Christians and Jews, and they lived in peace and harmony. We look at the rise, why, how did Islam reach there? And how did it reach that high level? And also, why did it fall to the point today where Islam has almost disappeared completely from that land? You go there, you hardly find Muslims. What happened? How did this occur? And so, inshallah, we will begin this amazing series, the series of Andalusia. May Allah grant us success. Today is the beginning, part one, the conquest. How did the Muslims reach there and how did they conquer this land? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ If Allah helps you and assists you, then none can overpower you. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ And if Allah were to leave you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not assist you, if He were to abase you, then there's none that can assist you and help you. That victory and success comes from Allah. We have so many chapters of history, so many moments in our history of great success. All of it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's important for us to remind ourselves of these chapters. When we look at the Muslim world now, what do we see? Poverty, disunity, one Muslim land fighting against another for little bits, for nothing. There's no Muslim country you can look at with pride and say, you know what, those guys, they really lead the ummah. And sometimes we believe this is where we belong, that we've always been here at the bottom of the ladder. No, no. There was a time when we led the world in civilization, in culture, and in history and in legacy. And that is where Allah says, this success comes from Him. So Muslims ruled, and this is some points you need to take. Islam entered Andalusia or Spain in 711. Like that shop, 711. That's when Islam arrived in Andalusia. We'll talk about this moment, 711. And it stayed there up until 1492, almost 1500. So it was 800 years almost that Islam was present in Andalusia. And we mentioned how unique a time this was in history, that it was from this point in time, once the Muslims had brought knowledge and technology to the Europeans, when they removed the Muslims from Spain, it was the beginning of the colonial period. From Spain, the first colonial empire was the Spanish Empire. And they took our technology, they took our resources, and then they conquered South America, the conquistadors. They came to South Africa, Vasco da Gama, and all of them. Where did they get this technology from? It was from Andalusia. That was the foundation upon which Europe built its rise. And until today, it dominates the world based on that technology, based on that learning which was left behind in Andalusia. So let's talk a little bit about Spain before Islam arrived, before Islam came there. So the world was in two halves. You had Europe, which was in the Dark Ages, and in the meantime, in the Middle East, Islam was rising. Islam was rising, whereas Europe was deep, deep in Jahiliyyah. Spain was ruled by a family called the Vandals. In fact, this is where the word Andalusia, the Andals, the land of the Andals. They were a German clan, a tribe who came from Germany, and they ruled basically Spain and another tribe, the Visigoths. So a German people were ruling over the people of Spain, the majority people of Spain. And these people, the ruling class, like all ruling classes, they don't care about the people. They don't care about the welfare of its subjects. The only thing they care about is taxing the people more and using and exploiting them. And they also had the alliance of the church. The church, subhanAllah, assisted them in exploiting their own people. And so the people of Spain were in deep, deep misery under the ruling of the Visigoths. And just before the emergence of Islam entering Spain, there was a huge civil war between the family. So as it is, the Visigoths, this uncle is fighting that nephew, this father, each one fighting for the crown, sending peasants to kill one another so that they could be in charge. And so the people of Spain were desperate for a change in leadership. Side note, this is something that all politicians should learn. That if you exploit and tax and oppress your people for so long, eventually they will remove you. And you will find the people of Spain themselves welcoming a dark-skinned, non-Christian people to come into their land to remove the people that look just like them because they want justice. The man in the street, ultimately, he wants to live in peace. He wants his kids to go to school. He wants to have enough food to put on the table. If you oppress him long enough, he's going to force change. So this is what's happening in Spain. It's in deep darkness, and the people are deeply dissatisfied. Just across the Mediterranean, in fact, from Spain, you can see Morocco. You can actually see it on a clear day. You can see across the Mediterranean, and you can see Morocco. What's going on the other side of the Mediterranean? The Muslim Ummah, the Muslim Empire, is in full swing. At this point in time, the Muslim Empire under the Umayyad dynasty is at the zenith of its power. It had reached China in the east, and it had reached Morocco, the Atlantic Ocean, in the west. The biggest empire on earth was now being ruled by the Umayyad family in Damascus. And their rule was strong and absolute. And under them, half the world's population was under their dominance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also had allowed that at this period in time, Allah had selected some of the greatest generals in our history to come under the Umayyads. And so in every direction, you found at the same time, subhanAllah, the Amir, Khalifa al-Walid, he's sitting in Damascus, he's getting a report, we've just conquered a land in China. He's getting a report, we've just conquered Pakistan. He's getting a report, we just conquered Sudan. We're getting a report, we just reached the Atlantic Ocean. There's nowhere to go. Everywhere, the Muslim Ummah is expanding and increasing. And so, this was, while Europe is in a decline, Islam was up in full swing. And the ruler of North Africa, so obviously when you rule such a huge empire, you need governors. And the governor of North Africa is a very famous man and one of the people we should know, Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. He was one of the great rulers, governors, generals of our Islamic history. And he's really the man who conquered North Africa and brought Islam to Spain. So who is this man, Musa ibn Nusayr? We'll take a side note. Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimullah, was born 20 years after Hijrah. So basically 10 years after the Nabi passed away, he was born. And he grew up amongst the Sahaba. His father, in fact, worked for the Khalifa Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as a bodyguard. And so he grew up in the palace of the Khalifa. And with that, even though he's not from noble family, he's not from the bloodline of the Khalifa, he grew up amongst the children of the Khalifa. And living in Medina, he also got to learn from the Sahaba and the great scholars. And so he was a man that was deeply religious, but also deeply connected with the Umayyad ruling family. And so when his childhood friend, he had a friend, Abdulaziz, so Musa's friend Abdulaziz, was the son of the Khalifa, the Prince Abdulaziz. Before you become the Khalifa, you need a job. So the Khalifa sent his son Abdulaziz to become the ruler of Egypt. And when Abdulaziz went to Egypt, he said, "Dad, can I bring my friend Musa with me as my advisor?" And so Musa goes with his friend, and together they rule Egypt. When Abdulaziz becomes the Khalifa, he makes Musa the governor of North Africa. Now, North Africa, from the very earliest days, the Sahaba had already reached North Africa, Egypt, Tunisia, Libya. Islam had reached there. But it could never control North Africa. Are there any North Africans here in the masjid? The Berber people, the people of North Africa, are very hard people. The land is hard and the people are even harder. And no matter how many times the armies came to conquer them, they would rebel and revolt and fight back against the Muslims. So Musa, rahimullah, has now become the governor of this very hard, rough landscape. And he decided to do something different to all the governors before him. He said, "Once we put down the rebels," he told the Khalifa, "I don't need more soldiers. Send me ulama. Send me teachers. Send me doctors. Send me engineers. We are going to teach the people. And we are going to try and bring them into Islam rather than constantly fighting with the local population." And this worked, subhanAllah. And with his sincerity and the grace of and the tawfiq of Allah, he was able to bring the people of North Africa, the Berbers, into the fold of Islam. And until today, alhamdulillah, this is, it's the heart, one of the heartlands of Islam is North Africa. The North African people are very firmly on the Islam. They learned Arabic and they became devout Muslims. And together, Musa and the tribes of the Berbers pushed out what remained of the Romans until, subhanAllah, it mentions he was the first man to reach the end of Morocco, right to the Atlantic Ocean. And he said, if it was not for the sea, I would have continued to ride my horse further through the ocean until I would find the land on the other side by the grace of Allah. He also, subhanAllah, managed to develop a fleet, a navy, conquered the city, the island of Sicily. Sicily is right next to Italy. The Balearic Islands, Ibiza, Monaco, all these islands were conquered. And so, effectively, he was the ruler of the Mediterranean, this governor of North Africa. And so, his policies, what made him so successful wasn't that he had the best soldiers in the world, but it was his policies and his sincerity. He did not tax the non-Muslims more than was required. He did not exploit them. Also, it was well known. This was not just him. From the time of Nabi Sallam, when he entered Medina, what is the policy? We don't damage your churches. We don't destroy your synagogues. Till today, if you go to Palestine, the oldest churches in the world are still standing there. We didn't touch them. In Egypt, the oldest churches in Africa are still there. We didn't demolish them. In fact, even the pyramids of Fir'aun is still there. We didn't demolish it. And so people got to learn from this man that if you are under the rule of the Muslims, your property will be safe, your religion will be safe, your women will be safe. You just have to abide by the laws. Pay a small tax. We pay you. You pay a jizya if you're a non-Muslim. If you're a Muslim, you pay zakah. And if you have a rights in terms of the law. And if you become a Muslim, then you are ikhwan fi deen. Then you are our brothers in faith. And so, you are in Spain. You're seeing yourself being persecuted. You don't have enough money to pay your family. The kings and the rulers are fighting each other. You have load shedding. And on the other side of the, just on the other side, you can see these people living in harmony. Naturally, the question would be, when are you guys coming across the side? And so Musa, rahimullah, as we mentioned, he had a great relationship with the Berber people. And his army eventually was not even Arab anymore. And this is one of the great success of Islam. You cannot dominate a people forever. Eventually, the Arabs that came to North Africa, they left or they died. And the new army and the new bureaucracy were the Berber people themselves. One of the great names, so another name you must learn about Musa ibn Nusayr, the man that really conquered Spain, his name is Tariq ibn Ziyad. And today, the very famous land, Gibraltar, you've all heard of Gibraltar. You haven't heard of Gibraltar? You don't know geography? It's named after him, Jabal al-Tariq, the mountain of Tariq. So this young boy, Musa finds a young boy as a slave, as history mentions, and basically adopts him, and trains him, and frees him, and eventually he becomes the general of the Berber army. 20-year-old boy becomes the general of the Berber. This man was not an Arab. He was a local African, North African Muslim who was a slave and was now trained and rose up the ranks. And so when Musa was contacted by one of the governors of, now this is where history is different. We don't know exactly why the Muslims crossed over to Spain. Our historians mention that one of the governors of the king in Spain, while the civil war is happening, he wrote to Musa and he said that the king of Spain, the new king of Spain, he had raped my daughter. Allah Alam, this is true. He wrote to Musa and he said, if you come with an army, I and a few of the other governors will support you. Just remove this king. This king is evil. And I have a personal hatred because he raped my daughter. We don't know if it's true or not. What we do know is there was a civil war happening. And so Musa sent his general, this young man, Tariq ibn Ziyad, with a small army, go and just see, assess the situation, go to Spain, let's see how things are, and report back. Musa goes with 7,000 men, and he arrives at what we now call Gibraltar, the mountain of Tariq. He arrives there. And the king of Spain was busy with his civil war when he heard about the arrival of a Muslim army. Immediately, he came to the south of Spain to face off with Tariq, rahimullah. Now, confronted with an army, we know from our sources and the Christian sources, so both historians agree, the Muslims were far, far outnumbered. Some mention half, you know, the Christian army was double. Our sources, obviously everyone likes to exaggerate, our sources 10 to 1. Allah Alam, all we know is the Muslims were not prepared for such a huge army coming to face them. And so Tariq rahimullah has a decision to make. Do I turn back and go back to Morocco? Or do we fight this enemy? And this was in Ramadan, subhanAllah. As the decree of Allah, this happened in Ramadan. In fact, some mention the 21st of Ramadan. So the last 10 days of Ramadan when this occurred. And legend, history books mention that as Tariq, this general, this young man, 20 years old, subhanAllah, what decisions do 20-year-olds make? What game should I play? You know, FIFA or Need for Speed? Tariq must decide, do I go and fight or do I return back? And legends mention that he has a dream from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The next morning, when the army wakes up, they found that Tariq had all the ships burned. No way to retreat. And so he gives this amazing speech, which is recorded in the books of history. He stands before his army. And he says to them, Ayn al-Mafar, where are you going to run to now? You have only the ocean, you're going to drown if you go back, and in front of you is the enemy. So what is your options? You don't have any options now. Your option, your only option, is your courage and your faith in Allah. You either are going to fight and we're going to win, or you sabr a little bit, and if we lose, then remember we go to Jannah. And he says to them, don't think this is a command for you. I will be the first in line. I'm going to be right in the front. I will be the first one. If we fall, I'll be the first one to fall. And so he gives us a moving speech reminding his people and the army that this is what we are coming here for is, as the Sahaba kept mentioning to the Persians, we are here to remove the people out of the worship of the creation to the worship of the Creator. To remove them from the darkness and the jahiliyyah of all other systems to the guidance of Islam. To take them away from the narrowness of this dunya and open their minds to the broadness of the akhirah. That is why we are here. And so his army was ready. And again, the history books can't explain this. One of the turning points in history, a small, tiny army defeated the army of the king of Spain. And even in the battlefield, the king himself had died. This moment, this battle, the Battle of Guadalete, is one of the turning points in history. Because with this moment, Tariq was able to send his armies, 711, by 712, 1 year later, Muslims had reached France, the whole of Spain, the whole of Portugal. They crossed the mountain, they were in France. It was an unbelievable expansion. No one could have expected that such a small army coming into a huge country like Spain would conquer it within 1 year, 2 years. And so now this is the newly conquered land of Andalus, falling under Muslim control. In doing research, you realize one of the reasons why the Muslims were so successful was because the people themselves did not oppose the army. The people of Spain did not fight the Muslims. In fact, many of them opened the gates and said, remove this governor. Something really, really interesting. The Muslims, when they would enter a city and they would conquer it, they would then have to move on and go to the next city. So the army has to leave. Now, the danger is when you leave the city, obviously they'll retake it over. So they had to put security guards in charge of it. Do you know who they chose to give weapons and said, you are guarding the city? They asked, where are the Jews, the Yahud? that we looked for the Jews of the city. And they were the most oppressed people under the church. I mean, the church used to oppress other denominations. What do you think they did to the Jews? So the Muslims had a long history. We were the ones that allowed them to return to Jerusalem when the Christians had banned them from coming. Sayyidina Umar was the one that said, you can come back. And so the Jews have a long history of living peacefully, living securely under Muslims. The greatest alim of Judaism, the greatest alim is called Rabbi Maimonides. Maimonides, that's his name. Who is he? Andalusian Jew that lived under Muslim control, spoke Arabic, he wrote his books in Arabic. Under Muslim control, the Jews thrived. And so it was the Jews that served as our security guards, waiting for the Muslims to return. And alhamdulillah, as we said, within a few months, within a year or two, Musa and Tariq were able to conquer the entire Iberian Peninsula. Even as we said, 100 kilometers. They reached 100 kilometers outside of Paris. That's where the Muslim advance ended. And so, to close this first part of the series, the land of Al-Andalus is now under Muslim control. It is also the most distant. If you're the Khalifa sitting in Damascus, you get the good news. Spain has just been conquered. This is not in the center of where action is. This is like at the far end of the world. This is at the bottom of the world. In fact, the bottom of your priorities. Spain was not a feature for the Khalifa. At the same time, as we said, the Muslims were in China. And there's a beautiful tradition where one of the generals was speaking to the Emperor of China and they were negotiating. And the Emperor of China said to him, you know, the Chinese Empire survived for many, many centuries. You guys are just new. Okay, you're upstart, not even 100 years old. We're going to go to war. And so the general said to the Emperor of China, are you really prepared to go to a war where I am the front of the army and the end of the army is there in Spain at the Atlantic Ocean? That's how big our army is. Are you ready to go to war with an army like this? And eventually there was a peace treaty between the Muslims and China. And so this was the glory days of Islam. Just to conclude with what happened to Musa and Tariq, sad conclusion to both of them. After they had done the unbelievable, conquered this country in just 2 years, conquered North Africa, the Khalifa in Damascus, Al-Walid, got sick and he was about to die. And the new Khalifa, his brother Sulaiman, is becoming the Khalifa. And he calls Tariq and Musa, come to Damascus. You need to give your allegiance to me. And when you arrive here, you must tell the people that it was I that was the engineer of your victory. You know, all the success in Spain is because of me. But Musa, being a man of integrity, he knew it was Al-Walid, the Khalifa that was dying, was really the person that had given him the ability. And so when they both arrived in Damascus, they had mentioned the old Khalifa. So they came there and they praised the old Khalifa, not the new one. And subhanAllah, these are people. Politicians are politicians, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. Politicians are the same. They had both Musa and Tariq arrested, stripped them of their positions, imprisoned for some time, and eventually they were released. And they lived a very unknown life afterwards, forced to retire. These two men who had brought Islam to this new area of Al-Andalus. While the two of them would now disappear in obscurity, the land that they conquered would remain. And so from 711, as I said, for the next 800 years, this most distant emirate, this most distant province of the Muslim Empire would thrive and would become independent and eventually would reach the heights. And we continue, inshallah, to talk about how Andalus became the most developed civilization on earth, bi-ibnillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq, ameen, and to grant us once again, as I said, we remember these stories. The point is not to tell stories. The point is to say, why can't we replicate that? The Quran we have is the same Quran that they had. Their people were the same people like us. It requires firm iman and good leadership. And may Allah grant us tawfiq with that. And inshallah, our kids, when they talk about our chapters, they will also give khutbas about this generation of doing great things, not for the sake of being proud or a legacy, but for the sake of doing good, for the sake of Allah. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi salamu al-salin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.